This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Obligation to each other, to leave no one behind, to give hate no safe harbor. It's up to all of us to preserve and protect the very idea of America. Mm. You know, we're unique. We're unique in American world history. We're the only nation founded on an idea. Mm. Every other nation in the world is founded on geography, ethnicity, race, religion.
Can we stop there a minute? Marxism is an idea. There's a lot of nations that have been founded on Marxism. But anyway, go ahead.
Think about it. The idea was we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal in the image of God, deserve to be treated equally throughout their life. We've never fully lived up to it, but we've never
actually,
walked
away that's not
away
what the Declaration
it.
Says, and I don't know what you mean we never fully lived up to it. You are a disgusting reprobate. You walk into the Senate, you side with the segregationists and the racists, and then you attack your fellow citizens that we never lived up to it. I don't even know what that means. We never lived up to. We fought a civil war to end slavery. That's how the Republican Party was founded, to fight the Democrat Party, the slavery party. We had civil rights battles throughout the history of this country. The latest in the 50s and 60s into the 70s, led by the black churches in the South, not by the white liberal Democrats in the North. And we're so good at equality now, we've moved on to equity. We don't even talk about equality anymore. We talk about equity. Civil rights Marxism. I'm so sick and tired of this old coot going around, yammering away, trashing our country, undermining our democracy, a.k.a. republicanism, and then going around and making the comments that he makes. Now, I want to delve into some issues here. The Speaker of the House will be on the program in the third hour. He's requested to come on, and I'm going to give him an airing. I also want to talk about who are the conservatives? What is the conservative movement? Are they effective? Are they actually getting anything done? What are they getting done? I know they go on TV a lot. I know they go on the radio a lot. Tell us what they would do and what we should do, and I respond to each one of them. I get many of them texting me. Okay. Well, if these things can be done, why aren't we doing them? It's the leadership's problem. Oh, okay. It's the leadership's problem. No, it's not so simple as that. 1,000 ideas. Everybody has ideas. You ever sit at a dinner table and you have an uncle or somebody, or you hear somebody say, I've got an idea for XYZ. Do you ever say, okay, so why don't you put it into action? Well, this rule and this guy and all this is going on and this one won't listen to me. These are losers. Losers. I grew up in the era of statesmen. And we knew statesmen when we saw them. And we fought like hell for Ronald Reagan in the 1976 primary, and we lost. Then we fought like hell in 1980. I was a very young guy in Pennsylvania. Then we won. Then we won. By today's standard, Reagan would be a moderate, maybe even a liberal. But he wouldn't be a loser. Massively grew the economy, massively slashed taxes, massively increased defense spending, destroyed the Soviet Union. Pretty good record, and I'm just getting started. But he didn't get everything he wants. That's for sure. He wanted to slash spending. He did everything he could, but he couldn't stop it. He stopped some of it. In fact, he stopped a lot of it. But he couldn't stop all of it. And I'll get to that later. Spiridon, a friend of mine, I get attacked when I say we ought to defend our allies and we ought to send them arms so they can defend themselves as well. That now is the definition, apparently, of a warmonger. No, it's not. Just because we have our own factions and our own mobs who insist on it doesn't make it true. The vast majority of the American people want us to have the strongest defense on the face of the earth. The vast majority of the American people do not support Vladimir Putin against the Ukrainians. The vast majority of the Americans do not support communist China against Taiwan. The vast majority of Americans, over 80% the last survey, do not support Iran and the Islamo-Nazis against Israel. The vast majority of the American people are smart. They have common sense. They love their country. And they know there's evil. There's enemies out there, whether it's Marxists or Islamists or whatever ists they call themselves. Evil doesn't take a break. Evil doesn't go away. Evil doesn't care if we have a ceasefire. We back off. We pull in our trunk. They don't care. We've only tried that repeatedly in this country, and it led to World War II. The Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor, way far away. Oh, Hawaii, so far away. Wasn't even a state. What's the problem? It's so far away. Here we are in the United States of America, continental America. Churchill. They talk about his years in the wilderness. 1930s, for 10 years. He was ignored by the establishment. He was ignored by fellow conservatives. In fact, worse, he was mocked. And he studied Germany. He studied 18th century, first Duke of Marlborough, his uncle, and the battle. The battles that took place. He studied German militarism. And he warned to anybody who would listen, which was nobody, when the Third Reich came on the scene, he warned them. This is war. He's a warmonger. I guess back then they might have even called him a neocon, a globalist. Germany was building up its military machine. He warned them. He said, this is aimed at us. No. Germany wouldn't think about it. They're too weak. There's too many countries that they would have to invade in order to get to our island nation. Nobody's going to touch our island nation. We have the canal. It's getting worse. He warned his fellow Brits again. We must prepare for war. Now. They dismissed him. Just easier to dismiss him. Besides, it's very expensive, you know. We have to balance our budget and all kinds of stuff. He said,
No. Prepare for war. War is coming, and whether we like it or not,
even when he was eventually chosen as prime minister, he was the default choice. The default choice. They didn't rally around him. Neville Chamberlain's appeasement failed. Diplomacy, as Biden calls it, and Blinken. Diplomacy. Churchill said, you don't understand the mindset. You don't understand the mindset of the Germans, he said. Biden doesn't understand the mindset of the Islamist terrorists. Or the Marxist Chinese. He doesn't get the mindset. Diplomacy is something to use as a tool against your enemies, we being the enemy. You know who is a student of Churchill, who's read everything he can get his hands on, who's talked to some of the historians that have written the best books about Churchill, many of whom are no longer with us? Netanyahu. He's effectively a Churchill historian, self-taught. And by the way, brilliant man, he went to MIT, master's degree. I'm not talking about that. He's very familiar with Churchill. Biden's not familiar with anything. Many people who attack me have no knowledge whatsoever of history. Zero. Only 80 years ago, 90 years ago, American history and the lead up to World War II. They don't have the foggiest idea. But they've learned slogans, I'm embarrassed to say. Warmonger, neocon, Zionist. They've learned slogans. And yet when the history books are written, it's going to be about those citizens, you, who stand up to this and say no. No. China is doing what China is doing because they want to destroy us. Russia's doing what Russia is doing because they want to destroy us. Iran and the Islamists are doing what they're doing overseas and in our own country because they want to destroy us. And here we dither over the speakership. Years from now, nobody's going to know what a speaker is. They're certainly not going to know who all these folks are who are going to remove the next speaker and have a debate over this statute and that statute, and we tied it to this and we tied it to that, and I told them what to do and they won't listen to what I said. I ask every one of these guys, truly, because I want to support them. If you're right, why can't you get it done? Nobody will listen to me. Well, then that's a problem. That's your problem. That's what a statesman is all about. Leading and persuading, not whining and complaining. And I've had about enough of it. That's not how I grew up under a father and a mother. Get off your backside and do something about it. Don't keep complaining and whining. These are the great men and women of history. Fill in the blank wouldn't let me do it. I don't understand. If these ideas are so good and they're so strong, why can't you get people to support you? Why can't you get anything done? Because right now, we conservatives are getting nothing done. Zero. And we're pointing fingers all over the place. And to expect the American people to rally around us with such a record, with such statements, with such commentary is absurd. Churchill's campaign against appeasement. Cambridge University Press. For much of the decade prior to 1940, Churchill was out of the office and often seen as a warmonger. That was the reputation that they projected upon him. He hated war. He'd been in wars. He fought in wars. He hated it. But that doesn't mean you pretend it's not building. And that doesn't mean we pretend it's not building against us. And when you wait too late, the consequences are dire. And in the modern era, with new technologies and weapons that can literally blow up the planet, dithering is not an answer. Churchill's sole appeasement is a policy not befitting a country of Britain, stating that they failed to take account of innate German militarism. Innate German militarism, innate communist Chinese militarism, innate Russian militarism, innate Islamo-Nazi Islamist militarism. All three of them are staring us in the face. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollars under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional. We're going to talk about what took place at Columbia University. We only have a minute here in this segment. Great piece written by Chuck DeVore at the Texas Policy Institute. I believe that's the name of it. If not, I'll fix it after the break. He says, Iran fired more than 300 warheads at Israel. The explosives were carried by about 170 propeller-driven drones of the kind Iran has sold Russia for use against Ukraine, more than 30 cruise missiles, and more than 120 ballistic missiles, mostly fired from Iranian territory at least 1,100 miles away to the east, with a few launched from dissident Houthi-controlled Yemen to the south. The attack failed to deliver any meaningful damage, though a 10-year-old girl was injured. But Iran's large-scale attack on Israel, more than twice as large as any Russia attack on Ukraine, what it did was it showed the value of a layered anti-missile defense championed by former President Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump and opposed by President Joe Biden when he served in the U.S. Senate. I want to put the marker right there, and I want to pick it up from there when we're done. Joe Biden opposed the defensive strategic missile system while he was a senator for 400 years. Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals.
Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark doesn't suffer fools well. So, if you're a fool, don't call 877-381-3811.
Let me pick up where Chuck DeVore left off here. With Iran's large-scale attack on Israel, more than twice as large as any Russian attack on Ukraine, did was show the value of a layered anti-missile defense championed by former Presidents Ronald Reagan and Trump, and opposed by Joe Biden when he served in the U.S. Senate. Iran's triple threat attack was defeated by fighter jets, Israel's short-range Iron Dome system, David's Sling, a kinetic hit-to-kill interceptor system with a range of about 186 miles, and Israel's Arrow 2 and Arrow 3 systems developed with the United States beginning in the 1980s. The U.S. Navy also fired anti-ballistic missile rockets from warships nearby. Now, I want to, as a footnote here, explain these workings between and with Israel and the United States. It began in 1986. Reagan announced the program in 1983. And to further develop the technologies for the system, we didn't have a functioning system. We partnered with the Israelis. The Iron Dome is the result of that, mostly Israeli technology. The David Sling system, this hit-to-kill interceptor system with a long range, is also mostly Israeli technology. And Israel's Arrow 2 and Arrow 3, and they're now building an Arrow 4 system, was developed with the United States beginning in the 1980s, but again, is mostly Israeli technology. Why? Because Israel has to use them. This is not a game. And they have built, in essence, an umbrella over their country because it's small. We don't have such an umbrella over our country. We don't even know, you and me, what we're doing with missile defense. Because in our country, there are constant efforts to kill it, led by the likes of Joe Biden. In Israel, they couldn't afford to kill it. They needed it. But Reagan understood, as Netanyahu understands, that this is one tool to defending a country. It doesn't replace jet fighters. It doesn't replace offensive missiles. It doesn't replace tanks. It doesn't replace an army, an air force, a navy. It is one tool. And the way you stop a country from shooting missiles at you is not to chase their missiles. That's an element of defense. It's to destroy the location from which they launch them and the regime that's launching them. Had Biden had his way in 1987, writes DeVore, Israel wouldn't have had the sophisticated and highly effective missile defense system. He says, at the time, I was a young special assistant for foreign affairs in the Pentagon. Shortly after the Republicans lost the U.S. Senate majority in 1986, Democrats redoubled their efforts to terminate Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative. They renamed it Star Wars, and they mocked him over and over again, and Biden was among them. They said it was a destabilizing waste of money. They argued on one hand that it cost too much and it wouldn't work anyway, and on the other hand, if it did work, it would increase the likelihood of life-ending nuclear war. But with Israel's advances in defense technology combined with its location in a dangerous neighborhood, a bipartisan argument could be made that Israel would benefit from the development of anti-missile technology while America would benefit from Israel's testing data and lessons learned. Thus was born Arrow anti-ballistic missile system. Why are we even helping Israel? Watch how Israel helps us too. When they increase the technological capabilities of these defensive missile systems, they share that information with the United States. When they increase the technological capabilities of our jet fighters, they share that information with the United States. When they gather intelligence all throughout the Middle East on our enemies too, they share it with the United States. And it's not a secret. One of the things that they are investing heavily in, investing with their genius and their technology, and out of necessity, are laser weapons. That's a game changer. They're more advanced now than any country on the face of the earth, unfortunately, including ours, because we just keep killing these projects in the crypt. They can't. It's important to note that at the time, the Arrow had its critics in both America and Israel. Aside from Biden and the largely anti-defense left, the Israeli Air Force was skeptical, fearing a diversion of resources from its ability to deter attacks. This is the genius of Donald Trump. He broke the Space Force out of the Air Force because he knew they would smother it, so he wanted to break it out so it has its own name, its own part of the service, and its own mission. But Israel's Ministry of Defense believed that an effective anti-missile defense would blunt the destruction of an enemy surprise attack, allowing Israel the luxury of not having to conduct diplomacy costly preemptive strikes, diplomatically costly preemptive strikes, and that has now been borne out. The wake of Iran's foiled attack on Israel, Biden told Israel's prime minister to, quote, take the win and not strike back, further driving the point home, likely to appeal to the Democrats' growing problem with their anti-Semitic left-wing base. Biden said he wouldn't support an Israeli counterattack. But just because a would-be murderer failed doesn't mean that a criminal should escape justice. Domestic pressure is mounting to force Israel to relent in its efforts to defend itself by eliminating the threat from an adjacent terrorist group. Terrorist sympathizers in Chicago shut down the road, and you saw what took place at Columbia University today. This brings to mind the Cold War era revelations from high-level Soviet defector Colonel Stanislav Lunev, a military intelligence officer, that the Soviet Union's clandestine agencies provided more resources for anti-war propaganda in the United States than it did for economic and military support of the Vietnamese. People's Republic of China has a simple doctrine with regard to American interests. Whatever the U.S. supports, it opposes. Whatever the U.S. opposes, it supports. And with China openly opposing Israel's efforts to defend itself and in possession of an economy several times larger than the Soviet Union's at the Soviet Union's peak, as well as having powerful propaganda tools such as TikTok, one can only guess at the extent to which China is involved in whipping up anti-Israel, pro-terror hysteria in America. Biden's policy of appeasing Iran and its terror proxies has failed spectacularly. Yes, it has. Who's behind all these protests at Columbia, on our college campuses, in certain of our major cities? Who's behind this? These things don't just happen. They have pre-made signs. They're on social media. They know how to show up, when to show up, where to show up. Well, let's take a look, shall we? This is from Fox News a little bit ago. Soros Foundation funds nonprofit that finances pro-Palestinian protests. William LaJeunesse, Adam Sabes, Fox News. Nonprofit that has received donations from George Soros has been bankrolling groups who have hosted pro-Palestinian rallies, according to a watchdog group. The nonprofit San Francisco-based Tides Foundation has been given over $22 million for different causes. The Tides Foundation has then given millions to liberal organizations who have all organized pro-Palestinian protests, according to the Capital Research Center. $650,000, this is a year old, to Jewish Voice for Peace. $710,000 to Adala Justice Project, a pro-Palestinian group. $86,000 to If Not Now. $38,000 to Progressive Center for Constitutional Rights. $600,000 to the Mass Liberation Progress. $132,000 to Westpac, the group that's over Students for Justice in Palestine. Soros Open Society Foundation's network made donations to these groups too, or many of them. The Mass Liberation Project's Arizona chapter, which is a direct affiliate of the Tides Foundation, has accused the U.S. government of ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. And it paints Hamas in a positive light. Quote,
We acknowledge Hamas as a legitimate political actor and democratically elected Gazan resistance working to free Palestinian people. That's a page on the Mass Liberation Project's Arizona chapter's website. We unequivocally support Palestine's demands and acknowledge Operation Al-Aqsa flood as a necessary step to secure their freedom. We wholeheartedly reject the false Zionist narrative that criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism. I think we're well beyond that, don't you, America? Jewish Voice for Peace, and If Not Now, both held a protest inside the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. This was founded by Marxist professors, by the way. Spokesperson for the Open Society Foundations told Fox News they condemn Hamas and support a future that respects the rights and freedoms of all. Soros. More, Washington Free Beacon. The son of left-wing mega-donor George Soros, Alex, has visited the White House at least 20 times since Biden took office. This is a year old. Soros, who recently took over his daddy's Open Society Foundations that funds progressive organizations, Marxists, across the country, has attended meetings and events at the White House at least 20 times, visitor log show. Alex Soros held recent meetings with several White House advisors, and it goes on to list them. Alex Soros was named the new head of the foundation in June, announcing he is more political than his 92-year-old father. He's already given tens of millions of dollars to Democrats in recent years. He gave $5.25 million to the Senate Majority PAC, that's Schumer's fund. He donated $750,000 to the Biden Victory Fund, $350,000 to Hillary Clinton's Victory Fund. He's given millions to the DNC and Democrat causes. And he's now in charge of these pro-Hamas groups, Times of India. It's actually pretty good. George Soros funded groups behind pro-Hamas rallies in New York. This is from a few months back. Hungarian-American business magnate George Soros, since 2016, has funded more than $15 million to pro-Palestinian groups which organize protests in support of Hamas and their attack on October 7 on Israel at New York's Bryant Park, reported the New York Post. And it goes on. Soros. Washington Free Beacon. Soros-backed groups storm U.S. Capitol, accuse Israel of genocide. And there's more. Fox Business. American multimillionaire couple funds Marxist group coordinating anti-Israel protests. They're all Democrats. A multimillionaire tech mogul and his wife are helping to bankroll groups behind pro-Palestinian protests that have occurred in the wake of the October 7 attack by Hamas on Israel. Neville Roy Singham, S-I-N-G-H-A-M. A U.S.-born entrepreneur who made millions after founding and selling an IT consulting firm called ThoughtWorks, and his wife, Jody Evans, the co-founder of left-wing anti-war group Code Pink, have been the primary funders of a group called the People's Forum since 2017, according to a report by the Free Press's Francesca Block. The group bills itself as a movement incubator for working class and marginalized communities. Does that include terrorists? I'm just curious. Excuse me. On the day of the Hamas attack, the group appeared to offer no condemnation of the terror group's actions, much like Michelle Obama, and called for an end to U.S. aid to the Zionist occupation and tweeted images of posters stating, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." We know what that means now. One such protest occurred in the New York City's Times Square the day after the attack on October 8. Social media profile belonging to the People's Forum on Twitter encouraged New Yorkers to go all out for Palestine. It urged supporters to stand with the people of Palestine who have the right to resist apartheid, occupation, and oppression. Neville Roy Singham and his lovely wife, Jody Evans, funding this. It also organized Shut It Down for Palestine protests to call for an end to U.S. support for Israel. And at the latter protest, activists entered the lobby of the New York City headquarters of asset management group BlackRock with the People's Forum claim shut down the company's office. Its executive director, Manalo Dadala, criticized the March for Israel, calling it a pro-genocide march, saying in a post on Twitter. This is anti-Palestinian march helped by the U.S. government, expects to gather a large crowd in support of 75 years of apartheid and occupation. And he accused the speakers of being racists and fake progressives. This is all being funded by dark money Democrat billionaires. Has Joe Biden said a word today about what took place in Columbia at Columbia University, Mr. Producer? I can't find anything, can you? Is he president of the United States? There's more. Left-wing dark money behemoth behind bail fund for Free Palestine bridge blockers. Oh, yeah. Who is that? George Soros. The A15 Action Group. Act Blue, a massive Democrat Party funding operation. Meet the American Millionaire Marxists funding anti-Israel rallies. One after another. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. The media know all this, but they're part of it. I discussed the Hamas network in America. It's put out by George Washington, program on extremism at George Washington University, chapter and verse on the Hamas network, how it funds a number of these groups that you see in the streets today and yesterday. The ADL finally got its ass in gear and its act together, at least for now. It's a long list of the groups, Students for Justice in Palestine, that's funded by Hamas, Jewish Voice for Peace, funded by Soros in part, Palestinian Youth Movement, is a international radical organization, celebrates Hamas. The USPCN, the U.S. Palestinian Community Network, is a radical Israel Jew-hating organization founded in 2006. The American Muslims for Palestine, same thing. Within our lifetime, United for Palestine, same thing. If not now, another group. Party for Socialism and Liberation. So you got infusion of the Marxists and the Islamists. That's there. I got the whole package here. I worked on it all afternoon. I'm one guy. There's not a single news organization in America that can explain what's being funded and what's being done. This is intended to overthrow the United States, you understand. I've only just begun. There's more. I'll be right back. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post. Deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. So as I went through all these reports, and there's some very extensive reports on these groups and who funds them, you are going to find that the dark money
billionaires and multimillionaires are the same people funding the Democrat Party. What the Democrat billionaires and millionaires have hoped to do was to create and support Islamists as they created and supported Marxists. I've been talking about this. I've been cutting edge on this. And you're seeing the fusion of the Marxists and the Islamists. That's what you saw at Columbia University today. And the people reporting on it are utterly clueless. They're clueless on the Marxism-Islamism partnership, ideological overlap. They're clueless about who's funding. They keep saying, who's funding this? All they have to do is watch my weekend show. I talk about the Hamas network. I've talked about Qatar and our universities and colleges in detail, in exquisite detail. I have provided the reports. I provided the analysis. I provided the amounts of money. And the same thing now with these Democrat Party billionaires and millionaires, the dark money that they are using, Soros, probably the kingpin, but there are others, to fund these organizations. That is what they're doing. That's why the FBI isn't doing a damn thing about it. Now, Biden and his party have to know that this is what's going on. These are the same people who are using dark money to create political action committees and others that are supporting Biden and trying to put Donald Trump in prison. That's who they are. Now, I've given you some names tonight. I'll give you some more names as time goes on. But that's who they are. CARE is a Hamas front group. And you go to their website and you can see how they're organizing and so forth. And we have a lot of these front groups now in these countries, literally hundreds and hundreds of so-called Palestinian front groups, which are, in many respects, not all, terrorist-supporting organizations in our own country that hate America. On top of that, the Democrat Party policy of open borders protected by the likes of Schumer and what they did to the Constitution last evening completely destroyed the impeachment clause of the Constitution, utterly and completely destroyed it. Boom, just like that. And by the way, let this be a lesson to Republicans. God willing, Donald Trump will win. They'll try to impeach if we control the Senate and they control the House and they send a bill of particulars to the Senate. Just rule it unconstitutional and be done with it. Because there is no more impeachment clause in the Constitution. They destroyed it. Utterly destroyed it. In one afternoon. They spent more time talking about the rules than they did about what Mayorkas was accused of. And apparently lying to Congress only applies if they don't like you. Otherwise, feel free to do it, which Mayorkas did. That was Article 2, essentially. But two more things, and then we'll move along a little bit. There's a fantastic post by Yuri Palchowski. I don't know Yuri Palchowski. I wish I did. This is smart. Listen very carefully to this. He says, I've done some research on the true numbers in Gaza. Originally, the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry published that 32,000 Gazan Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces. Of these, they claim that 78% were women and children, and none were combatants or members of Hamas. Israel countered that, no, 12,000 Palestinians they killed were combatants or members of Hamas. They actually have the facts to prove it. So that leaves 20,000 Gazan Palestinian non-combatants as having been killed by Israel. A little over a week ago, Hamas announced that over 11,000 people originally reported killed by Israeli forces couldn't be accounted for, meaning, and this is the consensus in the global community, they were never killed. How many times have I said, where are all the graves? Where are all the grave sites? So this means that 21,000 Palestinians, were killed, 21,000, 12,000 of whom were terrorists. That leaves 9,000 Gazan Palestinians, non-combatants, as having been killed by Israel. If you want this, by the way, I put it up on my social site some time ago today. Now, here's an odd fact. No one seems to be reporting. In the normal course of life, 4,000 people would have died over the past 6 months in Gaza if nothing was happening. Hamas reports all deaths in Gaza as war-related and killed by Israel, even those who die of natural causes. So when you include that, that leaves 5,000 Gaza Palestinian combatants as having been killed by Israel, non-combatants. Not 32,000, 5,000. Another factor not being counted is the number of Gazan Palestinians killed by Hamas rockets, falling short of killing their own people, which they tend to do. It'll be impossible to ever calculate how many people were killed in this way, but it won't be a small number of victims. He says, it's my conclusion that less than 5,000 Palestinian Gazans have been killed by force in this war. Some by Israeli forces, some by Hamas forces. Now, if you're a real news organization, you take that information and you take a really good look at it. You try and do an analysis. You bring in your statistical people. I've brought them in. Oh, isn't that amazing, America? That's why there's not 32,000 grave sites. Oh, today it's now 33,000. Even though there's a so-called ceasefire. And notice, even with the ceasefire, it's still death to Israel, death to the Jews. We support Iran. Notice that? Then there's this, Fox News. Netanyahu says 9 chilling words as Iran's president vows to completely destroy Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu left no doubt in a statement regarding what his Jewish country might do should current tensions with Iran escalate further, writes Fox News. Quote, 9 words, Israel will do whatever it needs to defend itself. The comment came after separate meetings with British Foreign Minister David Cameron. This guy's a real pig. He was a lousy prime minister, but he's turned out to be a real pig. And Germany's foreign minister. He said, Netanyahu, after the meetings, they have all sorts of suggestions and advice. I appreciate that, but I want to be clear. Our decisions, we will make ourselves. During the meeting, the German said escalation would serve no one, not Israel's security, not the many dozens of hostages still in the hands of Hamas. Well, they've murdered most of the hostages. That we now know. They have 27 that we know of that are alive out of the 134. All right. I'm going to move on briefly here. Do I need to take a break? I can't see my clock with my left eye, Mr. No, I got a few minutes here. So there was a hearing with Mayorkas today. He has more blood on his hands than anyone can imagine. He's one of the Biden consiglieres. You know, I hear this up. Well, I think I even heard a former Republican congressman say this on TV, but I'm not sure.
Well, if you're not going to go after Biden, why would you go after Mayorkas? He's just carrying out orders.
Now, what does that sound like to you, Mr. Producer? What does that sound like to you? That's the argument that was made at the Nuremberg trials, by the way. I'm just following orders. No, you have to be held to account.
Well, then why not go after Biden?
Because they don't have the votes.
Well, see that?
No. See what? A lot of these rhinos are phonies. They're more purists than they would accuse, than the people they accuse of being purists, you see. They're just purists without principles. They're purists for the process.
Well, I don't understand. Why would you go after Mayorkas and not Biden? You don't have the votes. Wow, wasn't that hypocrisy? No, it's not. They each took an oath. And just because you can't get to Biden doesn't mean the lieutenants are following orders. It doesn't mean you
You ignore them? Anyway, Josh Hawley to Mayorkas at a hearing today catches him in a lie over Laken Riley. It's Laken, L-A-K-E-N, you idiot Biden, not Lincoln. Cut one, go.
Now that we have the file, I'll tell you what the difference is. Congressman Bishop didn't have the parole file, and Senator Britt didn't have the parole file, and now we do have the parole file. And now we all know that the reason he was paroled into this country was because lack of detention capacity, which, as you and I both know, is not a valid reason under the statute. And now that we know that for sure, this is right out of the parole file. Here it is. Subject was paroled due to detention capacity at the Central Processing Center in El Paso, Texas. Now, suddenly, you don't want to talk about it. This is extraordinary. It's also a pattern with you. So, let me just try one more time. Have you read the parole file?
Senator, I'm going to give the same answer, and let me say it.
Well, which one? Are you going to give me the answer you gave?
Now, since the Senate didn't act at all, this guy's going to be cockier, more indignant, and a bigger lawbreaker than ever before. Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer has always been a lowlife. All these years I've been on WABC in New York. I've called this bastard out. We've tried to get him on the show. He is a lowlife extraordinaire. A lowlife among lowlife politicians. He's lower than a belly on the floor of the... Well, he just is what he is. He's grotesque, which is why he's the Democrat leader. Go ahead.
You're going to give the answer you gave to Congressman Bishop or the answer you gave to Senator Paul, or do you want to try a fourth one?
Senator, I will not speak to the particulars of the case, given the pending criminal prosecution.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Well, you certainly, of course, you don't want to, because it is an absolutely damning indictment of your policies. Let's just review Ibarra, and how he came to be here. On September the 8th, 2022, he was encountered by United States Border Patrol in El Paso, Texas, and was paroled into the United States due to lack of detention capacity. A provision, a proviso, a rule that is not permitted under the statute. You and I both know you know this. You knew it when you were talking to Congressman Bishop. You knew it when you were testifying to Senator Britt, and you know it today. You just never wanted to cop to it because the statute doesn't permit it. And so you lied to Congressman Bishop and you lied to Senator Britt. And now you are hiding behind the ongoing prosecution excuse because it's the last one left to you because you testified falsely under oath.
Well, you know, under Article 2 impeachment, they listed the number of times he lied and misled Congress during hearings, and Chuck Schumer concluded that that was unconstitutional. What was? The article. Well, what did the other side say? They didn't have a chance. Why are they going after Mayorkas? They should be going after Biden. All right. Ron Johnson, a favorite of this program, to Mayorkas at the hearing today. Cut two, go.
On the floor of the Senate, you know, read a list of a dozen people in the last 4 months, publicized murders, rapes, a 2-year-old caught in the crossfire, crimes committed by people in this country illegally. That had it not been for your reversing of the Trump policies, for your open border policy, those crimes would have been committed. I've got another simple question. Do you ever, when you go to bed at night, do you have any regrets? Do you have any remorse for your complicity,
Senator,
in these crimes? I mean, your open border policy has aided and abetted the murder of Americans, the rape of Americans. There are people have lost their loved ones because of this catastrophe, this open border policy. Do you have any remorse? Do you have any regrets,
Senator? 2 points. One.
By the way, this guy is cold-blooded. He is cold-blooded. He's ready to answer, Senator. I have 2 points, so, you know. Go ahead.
All of our hearts break for the victims.
Oh, yeah, his heart breaks. All of them break, you know. All of our hearts break. Go ahead.
His crimes and their loved ones. Secondly, the criminals who committed those crimes are responsible for their criminal conduct.
They wouldn't have been into this country had you not allowed them in.
You dumb bastard. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
Even Mitt Romney saying, what's going on here? Cut three, go with Mayorkas.
The House said that you lied when you said to the House in a hearing that the border was secure. Why did you say the border was secure? Was that a lie? What do you mean by that?
Senator Romney, allow me to assure you that I have honored the oath of office that I have taken more than five times in my 22 plus years of federal service.
Let me go back to the question. That's as accurate as it is irrelevant, which is my question is, you said that the border was secure. What did you mean when you said the border was secure? Is that not a lie?
Senator, I have you've asked me now if that is a lie, and I have assured you that I have honored the oath of office that I have taken.
In what way was it not a lie then?
Senator, with the resources and authorities that we have, it is as secure as it can be.
You are such a disgusting, loathsome bum. No wonder they had to break the damn impeachment clause to cover your ass. No wonder the Democrats don't want to debate this, America. America, every corner of America. The Democrat Party did this. It's covering it up. It's protecting one of their generals who's in charge of this. What you see happening in our cities in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, L.A., all over the country. What you see happening now on the northern border, in rural states, in rural areas. This man did it. His boss did it. The Democrat Party did it. They don't want any debate on it, no discussion. So they blew out the impeachment clause of the United States Constitution. They couldn't use it enough against Trump. But they wouldn't allow it to be used against this reprobate. And they literally destroyed it in one friggin' afternoon.
There's more of this give and take with Romney that I thought was kind of interesting. When we return, I'll be right back.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
Yes, it's true that Mark Levin is the fastest growing radio show in America. The Mark Levin Show is on at 877-381-3811.
Man, we've been looking at our ratings. Not me. Other people who do this sort of thing over the last 4 months, especially those coming in now, they are killer. You have to understand, I'm on multiple platforms. A lot of hosts aren't on multiple platforms. They have their terrestrial radio. Terrestrial radio, to me, is the mothership, no question, but there are other platforms. And so the more platforms you're on, sometimes the more diversified your audience becomes. So some people move to podcasting, some might move to satellite, some might go to live streaming, some might go here, some might go there, they go to YouTube. We have all these platforms all over the place. And the goal is mission-oriented. And so when you compare host to host, whether on the same channel or in competing channels, the question is, okay, what platforms is that guy on? We're on every platform. And even so, there's not an opposing program that I can find on any station that we're up against on the stations I'm on where we don't defeat the cross-station opponent. I say we because that's you. That simple. It's you. I want to tell you about Advantage Gold. Oh, come on, this damn computer. I'm about to throw it in the Potomac River, but I'd probably get thrown in prison for pollution or something, Mr. Producer. You know, this out-of-control spending has destroyed countries before. Literally. And we have this massive debt thanks to Biden. Now, don't get me wrong, Republicans are participants, but they can't hold a candle to the Democrats and Biden. They're the gold star. They're the Olympic gold when it comes to bankrupting our country. Then they lie about it. Then they say if only the rich would pay their fair share. Most of the rich now support them. Only if corporations would pay their fair share. Well, most corporations now are with them. It's not about paying a fair share. It's about out-of-control government. And who decides what a fair share is? A numbskull? Like the head of the Biden crime family? Do you remember? He set up two S corporations, he and Dr. Jill. Oh. When they play nurse and doctor, who's the doctor? They have two doctors, Mr. Producer? But anyway, I failed to mention we're going to have two tremendous, tremendous killer Life, Liberty, and Levin programs this weekend. Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific, Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, Saturday at 7 p.m. Central, Sunday at 7 p.m. Central. Well, you know the clock, whatever. You're not going to want to miss these programs. I'm fired up. I've been away. The Saturday show was preempted as it should have been. The Sunday show ran. It was somewhat tape delayed because I was in Israel and it won the night. By the way, if I don't say it done, we won Saturday night, prime time on cable. We won Sunday night, prime time on cable, thanks to you. Now, Saturday, I can't take credit for. The Israelis get credit for that one. But Sunday, I can. But that's thanks to you. And more of you are setting your DVR just in case you can't see the show live. It doesn't hurt to just set it up. Like tonight, to just set it up. We're going to have Will Scher and Tom Cotton Saturday. That'll be great, don't you think, Mr. Producer? Will Scher is one of the great lawyers for Donald Trump. We kind of discovered him. I mean, he's running for Attorney General Missouri. He's a President Trump lawyer. He's very, very sharp, and we're going to have him on, as well as Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton is one of the best senators we have as a country, and he is so solid on so many issues, as far as I'm concerned. So we're going to want to talk to him also about foreign policy and so forth. On Sunday's show, we're going to have Brett Tolman, former U.S. attorney, again on the Trump cases. Rich Goldberg, a fantastic expert on Iran. So we're going to cover a lot. And, of course, I'm going to talk a lot about the funding sources for these protesters. And I'm going to offer my sources to the media, Mr. Producer. Since I did all the research, here it is. Come and get it. Come and get it. Come on, boys. Come on, girls. I wonder who's funding these people.
Why do you have to wonder? You got a whole research. No, I'm wondering. I just don't know. Not only have we talked about it on my weekend shows, I've now gathered more information.
And we will name names, even beyond what I've done here. But I didn't want to have to wait till the weekend to talk about it. We talk about it now. And no, you don't have a right to incite violence. Don't you have a First Amendment right to incite violence? Actually, you don't. And I've also had many of these universities are private universities, so the First Amendment doesn't even apply to them.
What? What are you saying?
You know, like the impeachment clause doesn't apply to Democrats? That's right. First Amendment's about government. The government can't do this. The government can't do that. It's not about a private university can't do this and can't do that. They certainly can. And they can call for help from the local cops, the NYPD or whomever. Trespassing, interfering with the school, doing damage, hate speech, all this stuff. Universities are free to do. Now they're out there, hate America, destroy America, we're with Hamas. These are homegrown, in some cases, terrorists, but I think for the most part, these are imported terrorists, thanks to Mayorkas and Biden, before them, Obama. We didn't have this 20 years ago. We have it now. What changed? You didn't change. I didn't change. The Democrat Party is betting on Marxism and Islamism for power, and they may get it. This election's way too close. I mean, here we are now talking about Donald Trump in Manhattan in a preposterous case before a preposterous judge and a jury of Biden's peers. They can try the best they can. They're not going to be able to clean that out. Media is all in for imprisoning Donald Trump. You have these jackasses on CNN and MSNBC. Legal analysts. Wait, they're legal analysts? Yes, they are. That the judge, with his unconstitutional gag order, anybody can say whatever they want about Trump. He hasn't put any gag order on Michael Cohen, the multiple felon. He hasn't put any gag order on anybody, including his daughter, who's out there raising money on daddy's case. Just on the defendant who's fighting for his life, his freedom. He can't. Hey, you can't say nasty things about us. And there's Alvin Bragg, that fat, stupid little bastard. There he is. Excuse my French. I can say fat, can't I, Mr. Producer? And I confer upon him immediately, make an executive decision, this year's FU award from Fatties United. And so, Alvin Bragg, I say to you from the bottom of my heart on behalf of our member, FU. That's right. F you. Remember. Hang it on your wall. I'm this year's biggest honored F you. Fatties United. Ooh, I wonder which juror is going to speak. Ooh, what juror are we going to get? What juror? Excuse me. Excuse me. This is a Stalinist show trial. Joe Biden is shuffling all around Pennsylvania, speaking fluent gibberish. Attacking Donald Trump, almost laughing at the fact that Trump is having to deal with this stuff, that, of course, Biden's invisible hand is behind. We know this. I've demonstrated this here, TV, everywhere. We know this. And same with Atlanta, same with Washington, same with all of it.
Well, let's bring in the legal analysts here. What do you make of this jury?
Wait a minute. Donald Trump can't campaign. What, he went to a bodega, and he's gone to a bagel place, and he went, excuse me. He needs to be in battleground states, not in dark, dark blue Manhattan. And he's tied down now, fighting for his freedom. And we now take it for granted. We've been so dumbed down. This should be the beginning and the end of it. A crooked system. A Marxist prosecutor, a sleazy judge, a jury of Biden's peers, in a city that voted 90% or so for his opponent,
And then we expect jurors to confess. Yes, I'm biased. Oh, yeah, I'll leave. I'm not biased. No, I love, I'm very fair and even. Okay, you're picked. You're picked.
By the way, that juror who lied on the jury form, that juror should be prosecuted. But Alvin Bragg won't prosecute him. Prosecute. You don't get to lie on official government forms involving a trial. I don't know what those forms say. Often they do say under penalty of perjury, but I don't know what the hell their form says.
Oops, I forgot to mention I got arrested. What did you get arrested? Pulling down conservative posters. Oh, they caught one. Doesn't mean they're going to catch them all, does it? Oh, boy. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. L-E-V-I-N.
The law also, the House correctly noted that asylum seekers should be evaluated individually, not released on block, and yet they were released on block. Why is that?
Senator, I don't know to what the House was referring, because we make individualized asylum determinations. Our asylum officers are trained to do so based upon the facts presented to them in each case.
Well, I would refer you to the articles of impeachment, which I presume you've had the chance to read. Is that right?
Actually, I have not read the articles of impeachment.
I probably want to do that, because it alleges that you haven't, that you did not follow the law of the United States of America. And either you or your legal counsel ought to read that to make sure that you are following the law of the United States of America. But it indicates that individuals are to be evaluated individually and not let go or not released into the country on block. And yet it says that you did release on block large numbers of individuals into the country that should have been individually evaluated. Is that the case or not the case?
That is not the case.
Of course not. You're lying. Washington Examiner, Paul Bedard, November 2016, 99% Muslim, 43,000 Somali refugees settled in the U.S. under Obama. The Obama administration resettled 8,858 Somali refugees in the United States last year, nearly 43,000 during Obama's 8 years. A huge number that is now raising concerns after a Somali refugee led a one-man attack spree on campus of Ohio State. Like Syrian refugees, there is simply no adequate way to check the backgrounds of the Somalis. According to the head of the Center for Immigration Studies, the Somali refugee numbers in the United States from the Department of Homeland Security and State, they laid out the numbers. The center also reviewed other data and told Secrets that some 97,000 Somali refugees have been resettled in the United States since 9/11. Of those, 99.6% were Muslim. 29.7% were males between the ages of 14 and 50. In a review of the numbers he reissued after Monday's attack, CIS Executive Director Mark Kerkorian said, "We have no way of vetting people from any of the failed states of the Islamic world, whether Somalia or Libya or Yemen or Afghanistan or Iraq. The latter two, actually, we have more intelligence on, having ruled them for a number of years. But even that information is of limited use. We admitted two Iraqis as refugees who we later discovered have been improvised explosive device makers back in Iraq. The FBI fears dozens more terrorists have been admitted." It goes on and on and on. Obama was hell-bent not on bringing everybody to America, but specifically Muslims. How do I know this? Because I'm reading the reports from back then. I'm reading what Obama said back then. I'm not making this up. It's easily researched. I can be checked. Remember when Nikki Haley even proposed early on that we should be bringing Palestinians in from Gaza until Governor DeSantis smacked her down and then she backstepped it multiple steps? Where is she now? Where is she now? She's gone silent in the face of what's going on in this country. I mean, I at least want to thank Chris Sununu, who's out there saying, yes, I'm going to vote for Trump. Now they're trying to destroy Sununu. The same people who were celebrating him either won't bring them on their shows to have him explain it, or when he comes on, they're there to trash him. They don't want to hear news. They're not interested in just reporting what the guy says at this point. He was a useful idiot before. Now they need to destroy him. Destroy him. That's your media. Not mine. Not yours either. I get it. Trust me. I shall return. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in America with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, much, much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. My wife Julie and I decided it was time to add more flowering trees to our landscape, and Fast Growing Tree was a great resource for us. A large selection and no hassle ordering or shipping. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on selected plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEVIN at checkout. LEVIN. Now that's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code LEVIN. VIN at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code LEVIN. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit FastGrowingTrees.com for details.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. We're joined by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson. Mr. Speaker, how are you, sir?
Mark, I'm doing great. Great to hear your voice.
Well, at least somebody likes my voice. Most people don't like my voice, Mr. Speaker. They
You're
say
the
I have a voice.
One.
Well, I have a great big one. Yeah, they say I have a voice for TV and a face for radio, so I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Mr. Speaker, you wanted to speak directly to the American people about these funding issues, Israel, and so forth. And I want to give you that opportunity because there's a lot of static in between and a lot of commentary, which is fine, but I do things a little differently. So go ahead, talk to the public. What is going on and why is it controversial?
Well, good question, Mark. I think it's controversial because there's a lot of misinformation about what we're doing here and why. Okay. Now, remember that the Senate sent to the House the supplemental foreign aid package a few months ago, right? What we're doing right now is the House is not passing the Senate supplemental bill. We're trying to fix that with some better policy and some better process. We took that bill that had lumped Israel aid, Ukraine, and the Indo-Pacific together, and we broke it into separate pieces so that in the House, everyone can vote up or down on their merits, each one of those items. And then we added a fourth bill to it, which is kind of a supplemental. We call it the Secure America Act. And it has some of our policies and some of our preferences in there where we make it tougher on Iran and Russia and China with sanctions. And we had the Repo Act, which is the seizure and transfer of about $5 billion in Russian sovereign assets in the U.S. to help the Ukraine effort. Some of the other innovations and things that we all believe in. The loan concept, you know, that's something that President Trump has championed. We added that into this so that the Ukrainian funding that goes to support anything related to the government is actually a loan instead of a gift. I mean, there's a lot of important policy innovations and things that we've changed in here, and we added an amendment process so that the members of the House can vote their will and add things and subtract things. So that's what's happening. It'll be on the floor on Saturday here in the House, and everybody will get to vote their preferences on that. And I hope at the end we can take care of our responsibilities. Helping Israel in its time of greatest need is a top priority for our country for all the reasons that you and I know. And Ukrainians desperately need lethal aid right now. I mean, we can't allow Vladimir Putin to roll through another country and take Kyiv. I mean, it would set us up to spend much more money and potentially have American boots on the ground over there because he'll be right on the border of NATO countries. These are very serious matters with global implications, and we got to address them very soberly, and I believe that's what we're going to do here in the House.
I agree with you on Ukraine, by the way. But if I'm a member of the House and I don't agree with you in Ukraine, I guess I vote against that, right?
Yeah, well, you have an opportunity. That's the whole point. I mean, look, the whole process, the way it's supposed to work in the House, is single subject, distinct issues that we argue and debate and address on their own merits. And that's what we've done here. The Senate likes to lump everything together in these giant omnibus bills, and we don't believe in that. So we're getting back to that regular order, that regular process, and there'll be lots of thoughtful discussion about it. And you know, I've encouraged everyone in my colleagues, Mark, who are going to vote on this, to go into get the confidential classified briefings on these things. Get the real information and be fully armed and equipped when you make such a consequential decision. You know, I mean, Ronald Reagan used to remind us, and you and I revere him and his policies, peace through strength. You know, the reason we're in this mess right now is because the Biden administration is projecting exactly the opposite. It's weakness on the world stage. And you talk about it all the time, informing your viewers and listeners, and you're right. I mean, if we had a strong commander in chief, we wouldn't be in this situation. If Donald Trump was a president right now, we wouldn't be having this conversation at all. But this is the status of things, and this is where we are. And America has a role to play. A strong America is good for stability around the world. Doesn't mean we're supposed to be the world's policemen or have boots on the ground all over the place. It's not what that means. It means that we've got to show that we are the leader of the free world, that we do take our responsibilities seriously, and we're willing to defend freedom. Just the perception of that keeps terrorists and tyrants at bay. And that's a really important thing for us to maintain.
It's apparently very controversial to arm our allies so they can defeat the enemy. I mean, Reagan did it all over the world and defeated the Soviet Union. And he armed our allies in our hemisphere. He armed our allies in Africa. He armed our allies in the Middle East. He armed our allies in Eastern Europe. And now apparently it's controversial. Now, what do you make of the point where some of our friends are saying, now, wait a minute, we were going to use foreign aid as leverage to secure the border? Tell us about that.
Yeah, great point. The number one priority for the American people is the border. Of course, it's our number one priority as well. We've been fighting on that every single day since Joe Biden walked into the Oval Office and started issuing those executive orders to open that border wide. You know, you and I both know they did that by design. They engineered it. That's the reason we just impeached Mayorkas in the House. Because they did this to open the borders and bring people in, I think, to turn them into voters and change the outcome of the decennial census. Okay, that's the game. Well, it's caused untold damage to the country, and we've got probably a real estimate about 16 million illegals in the country. The American people are irate about that because of all the parade of horribles that comes from it. Fentanyl poisoning deaths and violent crimes and murders by violent criminals that come in from all over the world. But here's the thing. We passed laws to fix it. We passed H.R. 2, our signature legislation, the Secure the Border Act. We sent that to Chuck Schumer over a year ago. He's completely ignored it. They don't want to close the border. And here's the thing. I remind everybody, the Republican Party is in charge of only one house of Congress. And by the way, Mark, we have the smallest margin in U.S. history. I have a one-vote margin. That means if we want to close the border, we can pass it. If we get all the Republicans, keep them all together, we can send it to the Senate, and we did. But then it dies there. Because the Democrats, the open border Democrats, run the Senate and the White House. I can't force it into law. But here's the point. Even if we were able to pass it into law, they'd ignore it. We have federal immigration laws on the books, but Mayorkas and Biden have flouted it. They don't care. They've ignored it. They would do it again. So we've demanded that the president use his executive authority, which he clearly has in the law. I've sent it to him. I handed it to him in person with a menu of options. He won't take it because they want the border to be open. So to put the border on this foreign supplemental package would be a great thing. We would do it again. But here's the problem. Because I have a one-vote margin, I have to have every single Republican in the House to agree to attach it. Here's the second part of that. We've got a handful of people who are never Ukrainers, and they don't want to fund Ukraine at all, right? So they won't agree to do that. And because I can't do that with the Republicans, I would need Democrats to attach it. No Democrat's going to vote for border security. So it's a mathematical impossibility.
You know, Mr. Speaker, I listened to you. I analyzed this stuff on my own. And we are boxing ourselves in. As you're explaining, as I've tried to explain to the audience, and as I say to these people who text me, conservatives, if the Speaker would only listen to me, if we shut down the government, if we did this, we did that, not one of the things that they say is possible. It's not
exactly
doable. You don't have the votes to do what they want. You don't have the votes to do what I call the rhinos want. You're walking a tightrope. Now, let me ask you this bluntly. If, in fact, you did what some of these folks are saying, nothing would happen again. And our allies, including Israel, wouldn't get the arms that they need while they're under attack. Is that correct or not?
100%. Here's the thing. The Democrats have an Israel problem, right? We have funded Israel, as you know. I mean, it was within 24 hours of my being coming speaker back in October. We funded Israel. We sent it over with a pay for. We took the $14 billion out of the IRS slush fund, expansion fund, and made Israel a priority instead. Chuck Schumer ignored it. About a month ago, Mark, I tried again. I sent a plain, clean, we call it a clean Israel funding bill. I put that on the floor to vote on. No pay for. Send it over. Let's just take care of Israel and get it off the table. 166 House Democrats voted against it. You know why? Because President Biden issued a veto threat for a clean Israel funding bill. You know why I did that? Because they're terrified. They have the pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party is going crazy right now. And he knows that if he does that, he funds Israel on its own, he has a civil war in his party. So they won't do it. They won't touch it. The Senate Democrats won't give Israel the funding. Mark, the only way that you and I and the American people can ensure that Israel gets the help it needs in this desperate hour is to attach it in this foreign supplemental package so that Joe Biden is forced to send the support to Israel.
I don't think people understand that that's the bottom line. Biden can veto whatever he wants.
Right.
He can veto whatever he wants. So people are beating their chests and patting themselves on the back of the head that they're the most brilliant people to ever walk on the face of the earth, that all you have to do is shut down the government. All you have to do is put that provision in there. All you have to do it. Schumer's not going to go for it. Biden's not going to go for it. We're stuck where we are. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Speaker. You've been a conservative your entire life. You've been a conservative in the House of Representatives. What's it like now being called a rhino globalist?
You know, it is not a lot of fun. Okay, I'm 52 years old. My entire life, I was in the trenches for the conservative movement. I was a constitutional law attorney like you, and I used to litigate cases to defend our fundamental freedoms in the courts. I did that for 20 years before I got into politics. I came into Congress as a constitutional conservative, and I've defended those principles and led here, and it's the reason I wound up as Speaker of the House. I mean, I helped President Trump in his impeachment defenses twice. I mean, I've done the heavy lifting, heavy load here. Now, we find ourselves in this unprecedented moment in history. It's a fateful moment in history. And I come in with our core conservative principles, and I'm here to advance those as far as I can up the field every single day, inch by inch. My colleagues here, some of them, want me to throw a Hail Mary pass on every play, Mark. That's not possible. That's not a game plan. It's 3 yards in a cloud of dust, as we used to say when we played football. You got to go inch by inch up the field and get the first down to stay in the game. If we do that, we're going to win in November. Donald Trump is going to be elected president again. We are going to win a Republican majority in the Senate, and we are going to keep and grow the majority in the House. And when we have control, totally different ballgame. We can start throwing Hail Mary passes again. We can do those big plays and transformational change, and by golly, we're going to do it, Mark. We got an aggressive 100 days agenda that we'll run and fix all this mess. I told Donald Trump himself a couple days ago, Mr. President, I'm going to state the obvious. In your next term, you could be the most consequential president of the modern era because everything is a disaster, and you can fix it. We run a policy agenda based on our core conservative principles. We'll do the greatest service to this country that the history will record, but we got to get there. So is it fun to be taking arrows for the reality that we have with the numbers right now? No. But I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to stay dug in, and I'm not changing who I am or what I believe.
Now, let me ask
and I'm
you
going
this.
To try to guide this institution. Yeah.
If you had cut out Ukraine, if you tied the funding to the border or the alternative shut down the government, how much progress would you have made on any front?
Oh, zero. And we would guarantee we don't win the majority. See, people don't understand. They say shut the government down. That sounds like a great idea. But guess what? You got to remember, the president holds all the cards in a shutdown. They wanted us to shut down, Mark. Why? Because Joe Biden would make it so painful on the
American
people.
But I'm saying, even if you did, Biden has to agree whatever it is you're putting your gun to his head to, and he's not a rational president. He's not a rational president. In other words,
exactly.
You guys shouldn't even have to be doing what you're doing to secure the border, to fund our allies and so forth. You're hustling to try and figure out how to force the executive branch and the Democrats in the Senate to get this done. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Well, that's exactly right. And remember this, too, with regard to the shutdown. Once it's shut down and they stop paying our troops who are in harm's way and they don't pay TSA agents and everybody across the country starts getting their flights canceled, and, oh, don't worry, they won't be paying the Border Patrol agents either. So all those open sectors, the blame would be shifted to us for not paying them. You know, imagine that narrative. Well, guess what? To reopen the government, guess remembering the numbers, remember, I can only lose one Republican, I'll have a big group of Republicans who won't go along with it. It won't be pure enough for them. Whatever the thing is, they won't reopen it, which means you'll have to have Democrats. Imagine the deal that we'd have to cut. How much of a pound of flesh that we would have to give to get out of that mess. It's just
an impossible situation.
Yeah.
You only have a minute or two. You have liberal Republicans, right? Not you have Republicans who are potentially as difficult as other people in your caucus, correct?
Well, yes, true. We got a great mix of people from a great mix of districts. It's a very interesting dynamic.
And you get a one-vote majority.
One-vote majority, that's right.
And you have to take on the Senate and Biden. And they don't want to fund Israel unless Ukraine's funded. Is that the truth or not?
That is exactly right.
Okay, you've tried running up the hill on Israel alone. They shot it down, correct?
Correct. Twice.
You tried running up the hill to secure the border, and they won't even take it up, correct?
Absolutely right.
Okay. You impeached Mayorkas, and they wouldn't even take it up, correct?
That's right.
Okay. Well, the problem here is we're not going to get our allies the armaments that they need, whether it's Taiwan facing down communist China, who's our enemy, or Ukraine facing down Russia, who's putting killer satellites in the sky and hypersonic missiles aimed at us, or Iran, which is building nukes and an administration that's helping them fund it. We will not be able to arm our friends, arm them, if we play any more games. And I call them games because every one of these, they're not conservatives. I'm a conservative. Every one of these people have no plan. It would have worked, they say. It would have worked. I'm not an idiot. I've been around 50 years. It won't work. Now, that doesn't mean, Mr. Speaker, you sell out. And I'm not saying you are. You're not. You're trying to fight this. I'm not saying you don't shut down the government when you need to shut down the government. I'm for it. Reagan did it 6 times. But you don't shut down the government just to shut down the government. You got to have a plan.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there you go. You spoke to the American people. I spoke to the American people. Let the chips fall where they may, sir.
Go get them, Mark. I appreciate you.
All right. Good luck to you. I just felt it was time. The speaker wanted to come on, that he got to say what he wanted to say rather than everybody saying what he's trying to say. You can agree with him or disagree with him, but I have my own view of these things. Other people don't tell me what to think. I know what to think. The war is breaking out. The world is at war in little pieces right now. And it's going to get worse while we dither. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Congressman Randy Jackson, I want to give him credit. Well worth a shout out. He's a doctor, as you know. He was President Trump's doctor. He's going to be offering to the Israeli supplemental bill a requirement that the Palestinian Authority terminate pay to slay compliance with the Teller Force Act. Teller Force was an American veteran, went to West Point, was murdered by a Palestinian terrorist, one of the peaceful ones in Jerusalem, prior to any of the funds being used for assistance to Gaza. I'm not sure if this will even be made in order, but I wanted to be sure to flag this, because I strongly support what the Congressman Jackson, Dr. Jackson, is doing there. I hope we'll get the support that he needs. You know, folks, what I try to do here and try to do through action and practice and try to convey to you is always think for yourself. Don't just go along to get along, or people make claims and they carry flags and I'm on team this and team this. I'm on Team America. And I'm a rational person who believes strongly in conservatism, who's been in the trenches for half a century. We don't need lectures and press releases and all the rest. If these guys could get something done, then what the hell's stopping them?
Mark Levin, the funder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
Let me educate the Republican members of the House and the Republican members of the Senate. Let me educate these guys, because they're so myopic and cloistered. We have one more fight over keeping the speakership. I guarantee you Hakeem Jeffries will be the next speaker after the election. I guarantee it. Because people think you look like a bunch of clowns. But Mark, we're fighting on principles. You can't get what you want. I can't fix that. I can't change the numbers. I really can't. I cannot change the numbers. A one vote majority. I can't change the numbers in the Senate. I can't change the fact that we have a hate America, pro-Hamas president of the United States. I can't fix that right now. None of us can. None of us can. Well, if we'd only shut down the government, listen to me. There are times when I am arguing strongly for shutting down the government. A few months back, I did, as a matter of fact. But I'm trying to figure out, right now, if we shut down, what are we going to do exactly? Well, we'll get our way. No, you're not. You absolutely are not. Now, we can pretend otherwise. We can pretend it's okay. It's not a big deal if Russia cuts through Ukraine and threatens the Balkans and Romania and Poland and NATO and triggers our involvement in a massive ground war. We can pretend that's okay. We can pretend Putin hasn't said what he said. What he said! Not what I said he said, what he said! We can pretend communist China is massively building up its military, because all they want to do is hold on to Hong Kong and take Taiwan. We can pretend that they're in our hemisphere with 27 damn bases, that they have the contracts on both ends of the Panama Canal. We can pretend. We can pretend they don't now have a deep water base, a naval base in the Solomon Islands, where my great uncle fought during World War II. We can pretend that they don't have another base on the west coast of Africa aimed at us. We can pretend. We can pretend they don't want to control the South China Sea, where trillions of dollars in our commerce passes. We can pretend. We can pretend he's not in an alliance, Xi, with Putin, and Putin's not in an alliance with the Islamo-Nazi who runs Iran, who's in an alliance with own the inbred in North Korea. We can pretend that our funding of our military is at the lowest level since World War II, damn it. We can pretend. We can pretend that Iran only needs nuclear power to warm themselves in the middle of the desert at the desert night. Remember that argument? Remember the Obama clowns? We can pretend. But But I'm not going to pretend, because I love my country. Because I know history. There is evil. Evil never goes away. You can never defeat it. You always have to be prepared to confront it, to fight it. Not on their terms, on our terms. And I'm supposed to sit here and listen to these inane debates and be persuaded by them. Republicans, do what you can do. They own the Senate. They own the presidency. We have a damn one-vote majority in the House. Do what is doable. Do not sell out our principles. Do not sell out our defense. Do not sell out our border. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. But don't throw the country away over it. Don't throw our allies away. That's not America first. That's stupid. We should have enormous respect for the men in Ukraine who know they're up against horrific odds. That Russia is being funded by China with arms, with North Korea, with Iran's drones. That they actually have a military-industrial base. Ukraine has none of it. Ukraine was persuaded by the United States and Britain and, yes, Russia to give up its nuclear weapons. A grave historic mistake pressured by us, by Clinton. And they're fighting. They haven't asked for a single soldier. They need arms. They need help. Taiwan. Either we provide Taiwan with the arms that they already bought and we're not providing them to them. It'll be too late when the communist Chinese surround that island. We're not going to set in airplanes to provide them with weapons. We're not going to send in our Navy to provide them with weapons. They're saying, help us fight them. Help us. Give us the arms that we paid for and that we need. The Israelis haven't asked for a single American soldier, not one. The presence of the United States in the Middle East is on Biden, not on the Israelis. Biden is undermining them. He's stabbing them in the back. He's pretending he supports them when he's funding the Iranians. You know what's interesting to me? Where's the Freedom Caucus on that? Where the hell is the Freedom Caucus when it comes to Biden unconstitutionally providing over $100 billion to an Iranian regime as they're building a nuclear weapon? Where are they? Well, I issued a press release last Wednesday. Where are they? They're nowhere. Nowhere. So what do they do? What's easy? One of them pulls the trigger. We'll get rid of this bigger. Here comes Massey, the only Republican to vote against the resolution condemning Iran, because he's a radical libertarian. He's things I never thought he was. I've come to learn these things. He's a kook. I was wrong. See, I admit when I'm wrong. Well, you know, we libertarians, we can't criticize Iran. We can... Oh, shut the hell up. By the way, you saw what took place at Columbia University. Death to America. I'm Hamas. F the Jews. And you see how quickly they gather. The mobs. How quickly they gather. Who's funding them? Soros? Hamas? Democrat Party, dark money. I'm going to expose this over the weekend. Oh, who's funding them? I'll tell you who's funding them. It's easy to find out. The Democrat Party's funding them along with Hamas and other foreign monies coming into this country. It's that simple. Billionaire, millionaire, dark money. That's what's funding them. They're funding the Marxists and the Islamists. And they're having a hell of a good time, by the way. Our country's being destroyed from within. I can't hear you, conservatives in Congress. I can't hear you. Where are you? Where are you? We have a Democrat Party that is corrupt, that violates the Constitution on a daily basis. And we act, Republicans, particularly in the House, but the Senate too, we're not doing things according to Robert's rules of the parliamentary procedures. And I said that we can do this and move this around and do that and attach this to this and shut that. They have no friggin' idea how to deal with this. None. We're in the middle of a revolution that is sucking in the entire country. They're devouring us. And we're debating rules. We have to survive this. That's the priority, number one. The enemy within and the enemy without. We have to survive this. And we're not going to if these people don't get their heads together. I often talk about the Second Temple in Jerusalem, where the war with the Romans went on for about 5 years. But for about 4 years, while the Romans were laying siege to the Second Temple, several thousands of years ago. By the way, there weren't any Palestinians here. Gee, I wonder why. Anyway, they weren't there. They were fighting among themselves. And then they finally realized when it was too late that they were being destroyed. But until that moment, they couldn't give up their petty differences. And they kept fighting with each other, fighting with each other, fighting with each other as the Romans kept attacking their walls and kept attacking the temple, kept attacking. So finally they started to breach and they said, wait a minute, we got to join forces. It was too late. History is an important guide, even ancient history.
Let's see, what speaker should we knock off today and how do we replace the speaker?
Who are you going to replace them with?
Anybody's better than this.
The enemy's at the wall. In fact, they've penetrated the wall. They're within. They're in our streets. They're in our schools. They're entertainment. They're in the Democrat Party. We're surrounded by this enemy. We're surrounded by this enemy! And we keep fighting with each other!
Oh, you must be a globalist. No, no, no. You must be a populist. No, no, no. You must be a Reaganite. Wait a minute, Reaganite. No, no, no. You must be Shut the hell up!
If we cannot unite and do the simplest of things, then we have no real opposition to tyranny, do we? Now is not the time for white papers, for think tank press releases. Now is not the time to pretend that we can achieve the impossible with a one-vote majority in the House, and they control the Senate and the White House, and they're trying to put our candidate in prison for the rest of his life. What is it going to take?
What is it going to take for the light bulbs to go on and people to understand we are under siege right now from within? What's it going to take?
I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I want you to listen to the enemy, Pelosi. I want you to listen to this disgusting buffoon on CNN yesterday. Cut 8, go.
Do you think on the issue of Israel, that where things stand right now between the United States and Israel, this relationship has been tense for several weeks, maybe months now. Is it too late to repair that relationship between President Biden and Netanyahu?
No, of course, it's never too late to repair a relationship, but Netanyahu has to come around. He has not been a peace-oriented person.
Do you think so you see, it's Netanyahu. Now, these attacks on Netanyahu are attacks on the Jews in Israel. She also voted against giving aid to Israel unless there are massive conditions placed on Israel. She's gone full Hamas. Netanyahu's the problem in the Middle East. All we need to do is get rid of Netanyahu. That'll solve the problem. Then we have two states. Then Iran has nuclear weapons. Hamas is free to slaughter and rape at will. Yes, yes. Netanyahu's the problem. Ask her the name of the guy who runs Iran. The mumbler won't even know. Ask her the name two or three of the senior leaders of Hamas. She doesn't know. But she knows to hate the elected Israeli, the head of the democracy in Israel. He's not oriented toward peace. No, you dumb moron. He's oriented to protecting his people. Unlike you and your friggin' open border crowd. Mediaite will be there to help her. Mediaite. Dan Abrams. Who's Dan Abrams? Dan Abrams is the guy that's glued a squirrel to the top of his head. Oh, yes, yes. He's the Jerry Springer of the legal world. He's got this fantastic website. Hires all these prepubescent individuals with low IQs. Whole DEI operation going there, but DEI in the sense of stupid, prepubescent, inexperienced morons. I want to thank the NYPD today. You did a hell of a job. And it's going to be up to local police departments all over the country to help us with the Marxist-Islamist revolution that's taking place on our college campuses and throughout our country. Obama has not said a word today. Biden has not said a word today. Schumer has not said a word today. Hakeem Jeffries has not said a word today. This is their party. It's the party of Marxists and Islamists. I want to put our president in prison and anybody else who defends him. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, freedom fighters all over the world, and our brothers and sisters in Israel. God bless you all, and God bless America. See you tomorrow.